About 40 years ago, my parents rented an old farmhouse in the state of Illinois. While Mom and Dad were busy on move-in day, my sister and I decided that we would explore the new surroundings. Inside the house, we found something that I had never before seen. It was in a downstairs bathroom. There was, in that bathroom, a fairly large wooden box. As I looked in the box, I could see that there was something at the bottom of the box. But at that age, my arms were not long enough to reach into the box and get what it was. The box turned out to be a laundry chute. It allowed people in this particular house to drop clothes from that bathroom on the ground floor to the basement. Well, since this laundry chute had been nailed shut with a board, I came up with a plan to get what was inside this chute. I decided that I would brace my feet against the sides of that laundry chute after I'd climbed into the box. I'd grab the item, and then I'd climb out of this strange container. If the bottom of the box, which had that board nailed to it, was not strong enough to support my weight, I felt like my plan would keep me safe. Well, I got into the box without difficulty. And then my feet slipped from the sides of the laundry chute. I've never fallen so fast, so hard, and so completely in my life. Before I knew it, I was sitting on the basement floor of my new home. Thankfully, I was not injured by this mishap, and now four decades later, I want to share with you 3 points that can all be related to my fall through an old laundry chute. First, on that day many years ago, I learned that it was possible to fall. Secondly, I found out the reason for my fall. Third, I found that there were some things that could have been done to have prevented that fall. When we look at our lives today, we know that it is possible to fall. In the physical realm, as well as the spiritual realm, people collapse every single day. Some falls are gradual, and other falls are immediate. Some falls are relatively minor. We fall and we're bruised, we're skinned, we're banged up a little bit, but basically we're okay. Then we find other situations where people fall, and the fall is so serious they're crippled for life, or maybe they die. As we think about our topic, there are some things that we want to give attention to when it comes to the spiritual realm. It is possible to fall in the spiritual realm. Falling in the spiritual realm is often or frequently a process. And we find as we think about spiritual falls that not all fall as far or as hard as others. We might also be helped, I think, by one other little detail. Individuals can fall. But as we look at the Bible, the scriptures also tell us that an entire congregation can also fall. We can at some point worship with a congregation that is falling or has fallen or maybe will fall in the future. If you've looked at the sheet, you know that we're going to spend a lot of time this morning in the book of Revelation. Our first passage comes from Revelation 1, verse 13. In the latter half of this chapter where we began, we of course have some vivid descriptions for Jesus. In Revelation 1:13, the Bible tells us that the Lord is actually walking somewhere. And here's how John described that, Revelation 1, verse 13. And in the midst of the candlesticks, one like unto a son of man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about at the breast with a golden girdle. Jesus is described as walking among the candlesticks. Some translations here this morning might say lampstands. Now, if you're familiar with the book of Revelation, you know that this book is filled with a lot of symbolism. At the end of Revelation 1, it's verse 20, these candlesticks or these lampstands are identified for us. We're told what they represent. In Revelation 1:20, John said that these candlesticks or these lampstands, they represent the local congregations of Christ's church. When we combine Revelation 1:13 with Revelation 1 verse 20, we see that Jesus is walking among his people. As a farmer walks among his crops to inspect what's out there in the field, so the Lord is always in the midst of his people. This fact tells us that Jesus knows exactly what's taking place at the congregation where we worship and what's taking place at every other congregation that assembles for things like worship. The Lord knows every strength and every weakness associated with every congregation that belongs to him. Now, bearing this fact in mind, let's turn our attention to the next chapter in Revelation, Revelation 2, and see what the Lord found as he was looking at one of his congregations, the church at Ephesus. He said, remember therefore 2:5, whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I come to thee and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. Now this passage is instructive for several reasons. First, based on what has already been said, we know that an entire local congregation is being described. John said this congregation, the church at Ephesus, verse 1, that's where that congregation is introduced. He said this entire local group of God's people had fallen. Can a congregation of Christ's church fall? Well, the answer to that question is yes. There were fallen congregations in the first century. Men have not changed all that much, so we would say today that there are still congregations that have fallen. There are still congregations today where the Lord says, you are a fallen church. It is a very serious matter when the Lord looks at a body of his people and says, you are fallen. When we come to our second point, we'll give consideration to why some congregations and even people fall. But for now, let's pay attention to some other things in Revelation 2:5. Since this congregation was in a fallen state, the Lord turned to them and said, you need to repent. If we individually or congregationally fall, is there hope? Can we come back? Can we be restored? Well, based on the word repentance, we would say that the answer to this question is yes. As we talked about in this morning's Bible class, God does not want a single person to perish, 2 Peter 3:9. Well, if he doesn't want a person to perish, then it would make sense that he would not also want a group of people, a congregation, to perish. The congregation in Revelation 2 had fallen, but it had not fallen so far. Things had not reached the point where Jesus had removed it. Notice again what's said in Revelation 2:5. Repent, change, turn back to what's right, or else. The Lord said, if you do not repent, a time will come when I will remove thy candlestick out of its place. You will literally be cut off from me. A congregation can not only fall, it can fall so far that it is at a point where it's not pleasing to the Lord in any sense, and he simply removes it from its presence. When a congregation begins to fall, it is, we might say, on the clock. God says you have a limited leash, and if you don't resolve the problems before whatever this point in time is, then we're not going to be together. What we see with congregations is also what we see with individual Christians. We're going to spend most of our time this morning in the book of Revelation, and we're going to come back here in just a minute, but I want to take a quick detour back to the book of Galatians for just a minute. And thinking about individual Christians and how they can fall, Galatians is an excellent book to study. Galatians was certainly a book that was written to a congregation, but we also have a lot of attention paid to individual things in this letter. Things like the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 are certainly individual responsibilities. The first chapter of Galatians, verse 6, says, I marvel that ye are so quickly removing from him that called you in the grace of Christ unto a different gospel. The tense of the verb in Galatians 1:6 is present. That tells us that these Christians had not completely removed themselves from Christ. It means that they were in the process. They were drifting from the Lord. They were getting further and further away. This same point is developed towards the end of the book. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 7, there Paul said that these Christians were being hindered. Well, individuals, Galatians 1 and Galatians 5, can start drifting from Christ, leaving Christ, falling away from Christ, and that's also true for congregations. In many congregations, this process is one that starts fairly slowly. Drifting can be like erosion. We go out one day and it looks like everything is fine, but there is a change that's taking place. The change is so slow it may be hard to see. And it may be days or weeks or months or years, and then finally we say, oh wow, look at what's happened. In the case of a Christian, here's a fella or a person who's a lady, a Christian, slipping away, and then finally they get to the point where it's just like they've got a couple fingers holding on to the edge of a cliff. We want to avoid that spiritual state of slipping away or falling away, because we can come to a point where we have fallen completely. Staying with the same book, but looking in the fifth chapter towards the end of the book, Galatians 5, verse 4 says, ye are severed from Christ, ye who would be justified by the law, ye are fallen away from grace. I like the ASV rendering because it uses the word severed. Paul said there were some who had reached a point, they'd come to a state where they'd actually been separated or removed from Christ. So individually, a person can be separated or removed from Christ. Congregationally, Jesus also made that point in Revelation 2:5, repent, or I'm going to remove the candlestick. Now, since we know that individuals and congregations can not only fall, but they can fall to the point where they were actually cut off from Christ and salvation, we now want to turn our attention to the matter of why individuals and why congregations fall. 40 years ago, I know why I fell through a laundry chute. I did something that I should not have done. Well, this is the same reason why individuals and congregations fall today. And often they fall hard, and they fall fast, and they fall far. The Bible is full of examples of people who have done things they should not have done. We could start with Adam and Eve and go from there. The first couple knew there were some things that they should not have done, but they did them anyway. Those in the day of Noah knew what to do. They knew what was wrong, but they chose to fall away from what was right. Some might claim that the people in Noah's day, oh, they didn't know. They did know. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, 2 Peter 2, verse 5. So the people in his day and time had been warned. They simply chose to persist in what was the incorrect way. The people in Sodom and Gomorrah, they also fell because they did things God had not authorized. The nation of Israel fell many times because they chose sin over righteousness. The New Testament congregations in Revelation 2 and 3 were also sometimes in a state of falling. All right, I said we're going to return to the book of Revelation, so let's go back there now. Most know that John wrote to 7 congregations in this particular section of the book, and many know that there were more than 7 congregations in this area. But it seems like just as we have 7 days in the week, John chose 7 congregations because these were going to be a good representation of what congregations throughout time would face. These were real people in real places, and they had real issues. Let's see some of the reasons why these congregations fell. We'll start with Revelation 2, verse 4. But I have this against thee, that thou didst leave thy first love. The congregation at Ephesus had fallen. But why did they fall? Well, that fall, Revelation 2, 5, is explained by Revelation 2, 4. They had left their first love. John does not specify what this first love was. But we might be able to get some understanding of the thought if we consider the relationships that people have in our world. What happens when two people fall in love? Look at people in the late teenage years and they say, we're in love, we're engaged, we're going to get married. What feelings do they have when the love bug bites? Well, are the feelings that people have in those late teenage years the same feelings that they have 25 or 35 or 45 or 55 years later? We, as we look at life, know that people, they say, well, we fall in love, and then we've fallen out of love. There have been things like anger and other issues that have arisen. Well, the Ephesians, they were still busy as far as activity, Revelation 2, verse 3. But as they lived that Christian life, it seems like their motive, their attitude had changed. Maybe they felt like that now they were still in this relationship with the Lord, but now it was a matter of habit. Now it was a matter of duty. When a person's attitude, or we might say when a congregation's attitude becomes bad, then they have probably reached a time of decline. It is when a problem with attitude sets in that a congregation or an individual has started to fall. Bad attitudes in an individual's life, and a person doesn't have to be a Christian, but a bad attitude in life and a bad attitude in a local congregation is like a deadly disease. If we do not want to fall, we have to watch our attitude. Revelation 2, verse 14. Was written to another congregation. And here we find another reason why some congregations have and continue to fall. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there some that hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication. John says that false doctrine has caused some people and congregations to fail. The devil knows that apostasy and falling go hand in hand. So the devil is not hesitant to use this tool. He has used false doctrine, incorrect or wrong beliefs, to help individuals and congregations fall away from the Lord. Another path to hindering our right relationship with God is found a few verses later. Revelation 2, the information in verse 20. But I have this against thee, that thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess, and she teaches and seduces my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Immorality is one of the things that has caused God's people individually and congregationally to fall throughout time. With the number of people gathered here this morning, I think it's safe to say, I think I can be confident in making this statement. If we pooled our knowledge, we could surely name at least 100 Christians who have fallen due to immorality. I don't think that's difficult. Some of us could probably come up with 5 or 6 or maybe 10 or more names. Now, if people do not fall, or congregations do not fall for the preceding reasons, something else may get them. Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, "These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest, and thou art dead." This congregation was apparently thinking that all that it needed to serve God and go to heaven was a good reputation, and they had that. Now, sometimes in the secular work world, people can survive on something like a reputation. If this, though, is our mindset in the spiritual realm, that will just depend on a good reputation, we're falling. And the Lord says we might well be close to being spiritually dead. If we start depending on a reputation, we are on the road to apostasy. The last congregation mentioned in Revelation 2 and 3 is Laodicea. John says this congregation wasn't hot, and it wasn't cold. It was lukewarm. When an individual or congregation has a lukewarm commitment, it's also in danger, or we might say in the process of falling. Towards the end of Revelation 3, verses 15 and 16. "I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were cold or hot. Because thou art lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Now, we've established that falling is often a process, that falling includes individuals and congregations. And we've looked at a number of reasons why individuals and congregations fall. Let's now turn to point number 3. How do we prevent, in our individual Christian life or in the congregation where we worship, how do we prevent falling? Well, we started in Revelation 2 and went to the end of Revelation 3. Now let's reverse the process. Let's start with the end of Revelation 3 and work backwards. Let's start from the end of Revelation 3 and work all the way back up to Revelation chapter 2. Looking at the end of Revelation 3, the information in verse 19. "As many as I love, I reprove and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." God is always examining his people. If we want to avoid falling as an individual or falling as a congregation, we need to examine ourselves. We individually and congregationally need to be looking for deficiencies in our Christian life and in the place where we worship. When we find those shortcomings, we need to repent. Verse 19, we need to try to change those things. If we want to avoid falling, we have to identify spiritual shortcomings. Backing up a little bit, verse 16, if we don't want to fall as an individual, if we don't want to fall as a congregation, we've got to be hot. The Lord says we don't want to be cold. He says we don't want to put ourselves in the lukewarm category, but we want to be hot. We want to be active. We want to be faithful. We want to be persistent. We want to be committed. That's one of the significant things that we do to avoid putting ourselves in the falling category. Backing up a few more verses to Revelation 3, verse 13. John said that we've got to hear. If we're not willing to hear, we're going to probably fall individually and congregationally. John said we've got to hear what the Spirit says to the churches, to the congregations. Certainly these seven congregations needed this information. The churches of Christ need the same information today. Revelation 3, verse 12, backing up a little bit more. John says we need to be an overcomer. We need to be someone who is willing to live the Christian life. The word overcomer is associated with all seven congregations mentioned in Revelation 2 and 3. And that word simply describes being a Christian, being someone who is truly active in the Lord's service. Those who let themselves fall and do not get back up are failures instead of overcomers. Revelation 3, 2 and 3, at the beginning of the chapter, John tells us to watch. If we do not want to fall individually, if we do not want to fall congregationally, we need to watch. We need to be on the lookout to make sure that we see spiritual dangers, to see spiritual threats to our spiritual well-being, and make sure that we avoid those things. Backing up a little more, Revelation 2, verse 26, we need to keep God's works. And John said we need to keep God's works to the end. And then in Revelation 2, verse 5, John said that we need to hold fast what's right. We need to know the truth, and we need to stay committed to that truth if we do not want to fall. And then Revelation 2, verse 24, there are some evil things in the world. John talked about the deep things of Satan. If we do not want to fall individually and collectively, we want to avoid the deep things of the devil. That's an important step when it comes to not falling. And then backing up a few more verses, Revelation 2, verse 20. We avoid the immorality that we talked about earlier. The immorality that throughout time has caused so many to fall and fall so far. We avoid that. And then Revelation 2, verse 14, we avoid the false teaching that has ensnared so many. If we do not want to fall, we refuse to deny the faith. Revelation 2, verse 13. If we want to avoid falling, we're faithful to God, even to the point of dying for our faith. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. As John said in Revelation 2, verse 4, we cling to Christ and our first love. We have the right attitude. We're not like the people in Ephesus who say, well, yes, we've become a Christian, but we've left our first love. When we think about falling, falling in the physical realm is a terrible, terrible thing. When we see someone who falls, we think, you need help. We want you to be okay. Let me help you up. Let me see if you need medical attention. As bad as a physical fall is, spiritually, it's far, far worse. Spiritually, falling has eternal consequences. It can and will separate us from God in this life and in eternity. Falling, if we do not recover from it, can and will eternally separate us from God. This morning, there are only one of two things that's true if we're old enough to know right from wrong. We are either in a right relationship with God or we're not in a right relationship with God. There is no third alternative. If we are someone who has become a Christian, then once again, there are two choices. We've continued in our relationship with God, or we've fallen from our relationship with God. And that is a sad state. But it's also a fixable state. This morning, if we've not become a Christian, if we've got faith and want to live in the right way, the Bible says we can confess Christ and we can take that final step. We can be baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27, for the forgiveness of every single sin, Acts 2, verse 38. If we've taken that step, but for some reason along the way, there's something that's caused us to fall, the Lord says, I don't want that to happen. He wrote to the congregations in Revelation 2 and 3 to help them come back from that fallen state. And this morning, that's the invitation that we'd like to offer to you. If your relationship with God is not right because you've not become a Christian, or because you have become a Christian and you've fallen, we want you to be part of a congregation that wants to stay on the straight and narrow and not fall and have a Christian life. We're also headed in the right way. If we can strengthen you as a Christian, if we can help you become a Christian, if we can restore you as a Christian, if there's anything that we can do to help you right your relationship with God, we let us know about that need as we stand and sing the selected song.
He will make it white as snow. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come, come today. Come to Jesus, do not tarry. Enter in at mercy's gate. Oh, delay not till the morrow, lest thy coming be too late. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come, come today. Come to Jesus, dying sinner, other Savior there is none. He will share with you his glory when your pilgrimage is done. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come, come today.
Please be seated, please.